You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
1-0. Moncada in the air, center field again. He's done it again. The Sox have taken the lead. One pitch later tonight. That guy's amped. Everybody here standing, and the Sox have the lead again in the eighth against the Astros.
A little bit of deja vu, same situation, similar scenario the night before as the White Sox took the lead and then eventually won the game there in the eighth. Justin Verlander, Dylan Cease might not have been the pitching duel that we thought, but another night where the Astros fall in kind of a frustrating fashion, Paul.
Yeah, more than frustrating. You're playing against a team that you, I think, handled quite well in the ALDS last year that's been underachieving on their end, and they've beaten you in back-to-back nights and just feels like they've felt a little bit more urgent. Again, understandable for them. They are fighting for their playoff lives right now, but to see on a night where Justin Verlander gets to be the stopper for you, Verlander having, I would say by his standards, okay, by other pitchers, a good night.
Yeah, it would be a great night for a lot of pitchers.
Right. This was one of those ones where, hey, you just didn't get enough run support, and Verlander wasn't 100%, so there you go.
He was definitely not 100%. He and Martin Maldonado actually got in a little disagreement on how to pitch in the, I believe it was the seventh. And then right after that, Gavin Sheets knocked in the two runs that tied the game. So I don't know who won that battle. I don't know whose mistake that was, but that seemed to kind of doom things. Here's Justin Verlander after the Astros lost to the White Sox.
A little frustrated, obviously. But, I mean, gosh, it was a tough day all around. I mean, it seemed like every time they put the ball in play, you know, weekly, it was a hit. And if they hit a couple hard, it were outs. It's like, I mean, whatever.
Whatever.
It's kind of a not typical for Justin Verlander to sound that frustrated. So I don't know what happened during the game. I trust that he and Martin, or it was probably just an in-game thing, but they had to bring out pitching coach Josh Miller to settle it.
As someone who watched Bull Durham this past weekend.
Thank you. Did you watch the full thing?
I watched the full thing. I was very moved at the end of the movie.
Thank you.
I thought the second half of the movie was very heartfelt. But anyway, there's a lot of pitcher-catcher conversations over the course of that movie. And generally, whenever Nuke Lelouch is taking issues with, what was the catcher's name again? He will then find that the catcher has told the person in the batter's box, this is the exact pitch that is coming next. So hopefully Martin Maldonado wasn't doing that. But he would never do that because he's the greatest defensive mind of all time.
Some lineup questions. Once again, Trey Mancini not in the lineup. We haven't seen a lot of Christian Vasquez.
Yes.
We're getting to that point where injuries are more pronounced and seem more relevant than they would if they happened in, say, April or May. Diaz left the lineup with the groin injury. Brantley obviously out for the season. Yordan Alvarez is not technically injured, but he may have more right hand inflammation. He may not. We don't know. We just know that he has not looked like himself.
Add all of those up and then just the thought in the back of your head about, hey, Justin Verlander is pushing 40 and is coming off of Tommy John surgery, and we're getting into the last month and a half of the year. It's hard not to take a hard look at every single player that the Astros have and just hope that they're going to be 100% when the postseason rolls around, especially seeing the way that New York is falling apart at this point in time. Like, New York is really struggling, and they've had some injuries of their own of late that they've been dealing with. So it's understandable, maybe some of the struggles that they have been going through, though they have lost five series in a row. They haven't done that since, I guess, 2005. But in this situation, yeah, I mean, you can't help but look at Yordan Alvarez and think about last year, because last year Alex Bregman was pretty damn good for a long period of time, and then all of a sudden the last couple of months of the year, the wrist injury, he comes back and he just wasn't the same guy. Wrist injuries are no joke.
He felt fine, and that's what we're seeing with Yordan, but this is not the same Yordan that we saw before the All-Star break where people were literally chanting MVP, MVP at every game. Speaking of Yordan, Paul.
Yes.
Before the show, we were all discussing Yordan and what we feel like.
Oh, you're going to bring this up on the air?
I thought you wanted to.
Oh, my gosh. Fine.
Never mind.
No. I mean, let's just peel the Band-Aid off. The worst moment Gallant journalism history.
It's not Paul Gallant history. It's the internet history because the internet got by a fake. Was it fake Jeff Passan or fake Brian McTaggart account?
It was a fake Brian McTaggart account.
See, I didn't even know Brian McTaggart or somebody had a fake Brian McTaggart account.
Were at Tuve's tongue. Is their handle?
But the
so I almost
picture,
got caught by. It was Brian McTaggart's avatar, and it was an ESPN link. But I should have seen that. Like the massive brain that I have, haven't gone to Syracuse University, the SI Newhouse School of Public Communications.
Okay, Mike.
Should
Tirico.
Have seen. I'm not an Italian too. Should have seen that Brian McTaggart is not an ESPN writer, and I almost got. I remember I turned around and I looked at Vanessa and I looked at Sean and I said, like, guys, Jordan Alvarez is on the IL. I think we've got our lean for the show.
In the news anchor voice.
And we both were like, wow, that's crazy, da-da-da. And then I have to give credit to our intrepid intern who is a student at Missouri. So I mean, Missouri J School win. Over.
Like, that's the worst part about it is that – you know, our intern is Kenny, correct?
Yeah,
Shout out to intern Kenny.
Intern Kenny came correct and bailed my ass out.
He came correct.
Yeah, shout out to Missouri J School. Shout out to St. Teresa Catholic School, where we both went to.
Oh,
there
wow.
You go.
Yeah.
Legends did you know
of
each
Saint
other?
Teresa.
Yeah. Oh, he's probably younger.
Yeah, he's 5 years younger.
Oh, so got it.
We knew each other.
You look so young, Sean.
Thanks.
Astros level of concern, though. With all... Stop. I'm not the mom on American Pie.
I don't know. You did come into the studio saying that you're feeling very warm.
Yes.
And talked about something that older ladies
I
go
shouldn't
through.
Feel like I'm having menopause when I walk in the studio because it's so hot. Like, I shouldn't feel like there are hot flashes happening.
You should write a long letter, Karen style, to the person who is the manager of this building. What do you think they'll say?
Ooh, to the manager of the building.
Right.
I don't know, but I could kind of do my hair up in a Karen
you
could,
yeah,
style
you could
right
get it
now.
In the like short octomom Karen haircut. You could totally get that going.
I personally do not feel like I should be having my second menopause now. I walk in the building and I'm hot. I'm sweaty. It's unacceptable. I pay way too much, blah, blah, blah.
Do you know who my husband is? That was great.
I'm going to call Trevor.
I could die in there.
Yeah.
That's another. You have to be very dramatic.
I could literally die. It's like the videos of the mom who she flipping
out. I'm having a heat stroke.
I come back from my lunch at Panera Bread, and this is what I get.
Oh, Panera. Don't forget the Vegas vacation.
I'm just trying to cool off from Vegas. I did just come back from at Old Vegas, by the way, which is very, very Karen-ish. We do have a little bit of, I don't know if you would call it breaking news, but the Deshaun Watson situation continues to evolve.
I was hoping that you were
going to
get got by another Jordan Alvarez fake report so that we're even.
I did.
I know you did. I know.
I checked for verification, baby.
I did not.
This is per Dan Graziano a few minutes ago. Sources close to the Deshaun Watson situation believe a resolution could come today or tomorrow. Recent talks between NFL and Watson's reps have heightened hope that they can reach a settlement without Peter C. Harvey having to rule, but it's unclear how much longer he will wait. As we've seen before, this could all be a game. This could be Deshaun's, because this is sources close to the Deshaun Watson situation. This could be people on either side trying to ramp it up and get things done.
Okay.
But Dan Graziano usually isn't wrong. So today or tomorrow, I'm hoping it's today, and then we have something to talk about tomorrow.
I'm reporting, and according to my sources, and as you guys know now, I'm like one of the smartest internet reporters that there is.
Sure, absolutely.
But I'm reporting that it's going to happen tomorrow, according to my sources. Who are my sources? I can't say. That would be lacking journalistic integrity if I share with my sources about it happening today or tomorrow. Or maybe on Friday.
Do you want to know what I've learned about the national media throughout this whole Deshaun Watson thing?
What?
And I respect them. They get to where they are for a reason.
It
takes hard work. But I was watching ESPN, Good Morning Football, all of that, trying to see if there was anything new.
Okay.
And the anchors of all these shows toss to the reporters, what can you tell us about what's happening today? And all they do is give a recap because they have no new information. But they present it in a way where it's like, you want to hear what I have to say.
Well,
so it's
like, trick.
Here's the thing. It's all about the delivery.
Mm-hmm. You got to be like Brian Windhorst.
What is... Now, why is that?
Very strange.
What is
very
happening strange. In Utah?
Put your fingers right. around very dramatically.
But you know what? In his defense, he hinted towards something that happened later that day.
He did. But he didn't have the balls to report it. He didn't have the journalistic integrity to let his sources.
So what's tell our prediction? Because I was thinking it was going to be 1 year. Now that I know negotiation is going on, I feel like it's going to be 12 games.
I think Adele's going to trade him to Russia for Brittany Griner.
Adele?
Adele. No, Goodell. Goodell.
Roger Goodell.
Goodell.
Sorry. He's mispronouncing his name.
I had massive questions about setting fire to the rain. So you think Goodell is going to...
He's going to talk with, you know, President Biden. And he and old Joe, they're going to sit down, have a conversation and say, okay, well, we get one guy here. He's not... Yuri.
I guess the Brittany Griner thing isn't resolved yet, is it?
No, it isn't.
God, that's crazy.
No.
Okay, so seriously, what's your prediction?
I thought it'd
be a year. Now I'm thinking it's going to be 12 games.
I think it'll still be a year. I mean, that was what the bare minimum the NFL was offering was 12. I bet that they wanted ultimately more. Goodell thinks that this is four separate violations of the personal conduct policy. One penalty of said personal conduct policy per Sue Robinson is worthy of a 6-game suspension. And that was the big difference that he had with Sue Robinson. Robinson basically made it all in one. He decided that each of these four that were heard by Robinson are a separate case. So wild guess, but I think that they maybe offered like a 24-game suspension or something like that, which is weird. And the math is all off now that there's a 17-game schedule in the NFL, but I feel like they offered more than one season. The way that the Browns negotiated the contract, had they done it in a way where he actually was getting paid a full salary this season, that way where Watson gets fined, I could understand maybe less of a suspension. But I think that you have to punish the Browns, too, in the way that they went about this. And it might, at this point, not be as much about punishing Deshaun. It might be more about other NFL owners, the other 31, wanting to punish the Browns for giving Watson that contract, for maneuvering the contract the way that they did. And let's not act like these owners don't pull all the knives out together like it's some ritual cult and someone's been calling upon to be sacrificed. I mean, this happened before with I would say, Tom Brady and Deflategate. Like, that felt like 31 owners were pissed off that the Patriots got caught doing something that they shouldn't have and were like, this needs to happen in a way where Robert Kraft really feels this and really faces accountability. So it got turned into something that it probably wasn't, and I think it was because of the owners. I could see the owners doing the same in this situation.
What do you think, Sean? How many games?
I think it ends up being a year just because it is kind of the clean, like, all right, just get away, and then next year we'll, you know, clean slate. Instead of, like, you have to be away from the team, it's embarrassment, but then you come back to play your old team in week 14. And so I think they do that, and then Deshaun's camp kind of tries to get less of a fine because it was going to be indefinite suspension and like $8 million fine.
Yeah.
I just don't see the NFL like obviously going after his money like that just because of kind of basically because of how his contract is structured, that it won't cost him anything to miss this entire year relatively. And so they want to have some monetary thing penalty with it. But I can see that getting kind of negotiated down or out.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Galan, it's our Wine Wednesday segment. Call us and tell us what's on your mind and what you'd like to whine about. That's next.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Galan on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, listen, at this point we know baseball players have done roids. Some of them may continue to do PEDs. Fernando Tatis Jr. will have to miss its 80 games, right?
Yes.
Due to apparently a fungus with a haircut. That's his unique excuse.
Yes.
Either way, he's going to have to miss some time. His papa's not happy about it.
No.
And former MLB pitcher Jonathan Papelbon is not happy about it either. Here's what he says his solution would be.
Like, here's another thing, too, is this whole Tatis stuff, man, like, man, it almost enrages me because, you know, I worked my ass off for so much, so hard, and did it the right way, you know? And for me to see stuff like that, man, it just, man, it irks me so bad. And like, I'll tell you right now, Matt, if I was pitching,
Every single time I face that dude, I'm drilling him. I don't care if I'm bringing in a run and losing the game.
How many guys are you drilling if that's your mentality?
It's also easy to say that when the guy you're talking about isn't around.
That is also true.
And you're retired.
Right. Correct.
Also true.
Correct.
Papelbon was, though, a bit of a hardo during his time with the Red Sox.
Yeah, my ex-wife. Divorced the Red Sox.
My ex-wife, the Boston Red Sox.
The one thing that I've never heard of anybody in Boston doing with any sports team ever. But yeah, go ahead.
We had a good time. Jonathan Papelbon was one of the moments, or excuse me, one of, you know, the
children. He was the trip
children.
To Hawaii. He was the trip to Hawaii.
Yeah. Or, you know, like the kid that we didn't hate. You know, one or the other. Take your pick. The thing is, it's on brand for him. I just wonder how many pitchers actually feel this way. Are you really that mad when somebody is using steroids, given that, what, a majority of pitchers were putting spider tack
right
on the ball? That I imagine has been going on for a long time. There's so much cheating in baseball. And this is not me trying to like say the Astros did nothing. I just think that there's so much cheating that is done in a variety of different ways. Steroids, corked bats, doctoring the ball, stealing signs. I just don't care about any of it. And you would think that the guys who are a part of it, who see teammates that do it on a regular basis, wouldn't be so angry about it when they see it, especially when they're removed from the game.
And as, yeah. Especially Jonathan Papelbon, who played with Manny Ramirez, David Ortiz,
yeah. I mean,
played against Alex Rodriguez. Like, how many times did he hit Alex Rodriguez?
His generation, it's like, does he walk into whatever it may be, a party with former MLB players, maybe he goes to the Hall of Fame, you know, ceremonies, and just look at David Ortiz and say, I drill you? Like, absolutely he just, not, he doesn't.
Oh, Vanessa, he punches him in the face. Like,
come on.
That's who Papelbon is. And then he plays Dropkick Murphys.
This is just so, like, back in my day, old man yells at cloud type deal.
I feel like every baseball player just loves to pile on about, like, anytime there's steroids or the Astros cheating scandal, anything that comes, any cheating, which, by the way, baseball's, for how much they hate cheating, it seems like, other than the Tour de France, they have the most
so
cheating
true.
In sports.
Right,
like,
right.
Everyone is cheating at something. Like,
by
doing
the way,
something.
Sorry, ADHD kicking in. That was a fascinating thing on the Manti Te'o documentary last night.
Oh.
I forgot that it happened right after Tiger cheated on his wife and Lance got caught doping. And so that was one of the media circuses that they showed, was just the compilation of Peter Schrager, who worked for like CNN at the time, and all of these different sports people, Mike Florio, Dan Patrick, saying no one is happier about this than Lance. And it's like, what was his last name again?
Armstrong.
Thank you. It wasn't Neil Armstrong. Neil did the moon, right?
Yes.
Okay, Lance.
Some say.
So, yeah,
whoa.
Allegedly.
Don't say that.
I believe him. I believe
good.
Him, but
okay.
Some say he didn't. Allegedly.
So I'll get Buzz Aldrin to come punch you out like he punched that one guy out, which was
but,
the funniest thing I've ever seen.
But anyway, that was a fascinating thing, was I didn't realize that fall
okay.
from grace. But yeah, but in cycling, it's like, do you remember how
everyone
all my favorite thing ever was like Rick Riley, who's an author. All of these sports guys were like, no, I know Lance. He never would. No, I know him.
That's funny. Because no one knows anyone,
correct.
Really.
No one knows. And no one knows if you're teammates with somebody, you don't know what they do behind closed doors.
So, that's a really good
point.
I
mean, look at everything with Watson. Like I
would just point to that New York Mets documentary with all the guys that were
right.
on that team and all the stuff that all of them were doing. I mean, it seems like the only guy that maybe was like immune was, who's the catcher? Gary something, whatever.
Gary. Shout out to Gary.
Old Gary. Sorry. Anyway.
Gary Carter.
Gary Carter. Thank you. Was there toxic masculinity there?
Oh, God.
I mean, I hate the phrase, too, but...
Oh, wait. You're being serious. Where at?
Was that...
With where?
With Papelbon. With that.
Oh.
Those comments. Is that not what real toxic masculinity is?
Correct. It's probably like, more on brand, yeah.
And I wonder where it comes from. Is there a sense of the era I played in had so much of this going on that I was a part of a lie? It's a weird thing to hold on to and still be mad about, because it's not like you were robbed of a World Series by one of these guys. In fact, you were helped, as Sean laid out earlier, to get a World Series by David Ortiz and Manny Ramirez, who have been linked to PEDs.
Also, like, I'm so upset at this guy who is over 15 years younger than I am, that he did steroids, that in this hypothetical scenario, if I ever faced him, I would hit him every time where it, like, hurt my team because of how much I hate my feelings against this guy. I don't know how to handle them, so I will hurt him. Like, it's so
I guarantee it's
so
something
weird.
He said in hyperbole that he never thought would make the waves, and then awful announcing gets it, and
yeah.
It goes viral.
That was via TMZ.
Oh, TMZ gets
our
it.
Our good friends at TMZ.
Our good friends at TMZ. All right, it is time for our segment we do each Wednesday called Wine Wednesday.
It's Wine Wednesday.
It's the Wine and Cheese Club, gorgeous, where we all get together and vent about what annoys us at work.
On Vanessa and Gallant.
What's your Wednesday wine?
Wine.
Well, look, I thought that we lived in America. I thought that we lived in a land of justice. It's unfair that Pirates infielder Rodolfo Castro, clearly a cheater, who played a game with a cell phone in his pocket. How many games? We don't know. All we know is that mid-slide during an August 9th game, a cell phone flew out of his pocket. An investigation, and I put that in quotation marks, was done. And Castro was suspended for, get this, one game for violating the league's policy against bringing unapproved electronic devices onto the field. He is appealing said one-game suspension. It's clearly you're careless and you should be suspended if you have your phone on the field when everyone's trying to get all the electronics out of baseball. But one game, that's it? They continue to really skirt around punishing players for this stuff, Vanessa. And, I mean, the Astros were very fortunate with what took place.
I was going to say, the Astros got zero.
Right. I just feel like at some point you want to stop this. One game?
He does have a point, though, if his argument were to be, nah, the Astros didn't get punished at all for the same.
Ah, fair point.
You know what I mean?
Like precedent has been set.
He got caught red-handed, though. The Astros got caught later.
But it didn't look like he was using it.
The Astros got caught because John Boy, some weirdo Yankee fan, decides to do slow-motion videos of people fighting, and then he zoomed in on like a bunched-up part of Jose Altuve's shirt and was like, whoa, that's clearly a buzzer, bro.
That really is like the most misinformation, like, in recent sports
Twitter.
History.
Yeah.
Everyone just takes that as a fact. And it's like, it is like a couple pictures where jerseys are
seriously
full.
Let's stop focusing on, I don't know, like all this COVID stuff and focus on what really matters. Shutting down John Boy.
Exactly.
That is a take.
Also, all of Rodolfo Castro's numbers, his two home runs and .232 average, in my mind, comes with an asterisk.
There
Good
you
luck
go.
Getting into the Hall of Fame,
there
buddy.
You go.
I agree.
I'm going to go back to something I talked about on Monday, and quite frankly, I don't care. I can't get over the double dipping that happened in Las Vegas. We were in Las Vegas. We were sharing food with other people. I was talking to this man from a different radio station, and he took a chicken tender, the open side of which he had bitten that had his saliva on it, and dipped it in the community ketchup. To this day, it's one of the most egregious things. There's a reason that there's an entire Seinfeld episode of Did You Double Dip the Chip? Don't do it. Either get an individual thing of ketchup, because there were plates there. Yes, there were. Or turn around the chicken tender to the part that hasn't touched your mouth. To this day, I'm like, do I have E. coli? Do I have an STD now? Do I have something weird?
Whoa.
You can get a lot from eating.
I don't want to think about that. As soon as you told me, I avoided the ketchup. And I'm not going to lie.
Like, thank you.
Ketchup's pretty lame as far as condiments go.
Agree.
Like, it's the basic, you know, standard. But, okay, it's good with french fries. Look, the guy looked exactly like the kind of person who would double dip.
That you would think, yeah.
Yeah, he was a little... And look, a lot of people in our industry are rather slovenly.
Which doesn't make sense, by the way, if you cover sports.
Well, I mean...
But some people struggle with it. I have empathy, for
some
sure.
Some people like to...
It's difficult for some people.
Yeah,
But don't double dip your chicken tender. I don't care if you're overweight. I don't care if you... Well, your business is your business. But as soon as you involve your mouth in something that is involving my... Weird. Don't double dip.
I would have been more grossed out by this guy if, like, there were crumbs on his bare chest and he ate the crumbs off of his bare chest.
Oh, okay. Well, now I want to vomit.
See, it could have been worse.
Sean, what's your Wine Wednesday other than the fact that just...
that image.
Yeah, I just had to hear that.
Yeah.
I don't really have anything to whine about. Someone else would maybe whine about, like, oh, I have to work two shows yesterday after last week I had to work... another, didn't you know, three out of the 5 days I had to work two shows, and I worked 6 days. Someone else would complain about it. I won't, because I'm built different, so I have nothing to complain about.
Thank you, Russell Wilson. Oh, wow. That's a good one. All right,
Russ, don't put that on him. Come on.
Let's ride. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant.
Don't do that.
We have a giveaway, reality TV reports, and more coming up next.
I take back what I said, but first, I got to tell you. Stop, please.
Broncos country.
Stop. Stop. I'm a
passive investors. Let's ride.
Passive Investor Network. Let's ride with them. A full service real estate investment firm. Guess what? You're looking to invest in something. Why not invest in real estate? Prices keep going up and up and up. And guess what? The Passive Investor Network will help you do it. They do everything for you. First off, sit down with a portfolio advisor. They go over your long-term goals, and they're going to help you find a way to reach those long-term goals. Whatever financial situation you're in, seriously, sit down. It's free. They do the hard work of finding the parts of town and houses to invest in once you've had that meeting in your five-year plan. Then they do the construction for you with the properties that they select. And Penn, they have 20-plus years of experience in Houston fixing houses. They'll give you daily updates with pictures in the app of your property. And then once the construction is done, they find the tenants for you and do the property management. They literally do everything for you. You own the house. Everything else is in their court. So that's how you can take the headache out of the investment process, and you can make money passively to achieve your long-term goals. Visit their website today. Passiveinvestor.net is the website. Again, passiveinvestor.net. Tell them ESPN 97.5 sent you to schedule a free consultation with a portfolio manager. The Passive Investor Network, passiveinvestor.net.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, we are rolling along on a Wednesday, and we do have a giveaway.
Free stuff, free stuff.
Do you want to do this since you're an incubus guy?
Pardon me before I give you some free tickets. Pardon me, if ever tomorrow, whatever it brings, I'll be there. They're stopping Incubus, the band I just so delightfully sang. They're stopping in Houston for their 2022 live tour. So join them with special guest Sublime. What? I don't got no Santeria. I ain't got no crystal ball. I had $1 million. I spent it all. Also, Rome and the Aquadolls. It's this Friday, August 19th, caller 3. 713-780-3776. You win a pair of tickets to see the show. Tickets are on sale now. LiveNation.com. Again, it is Friday. Caller 3, 713-780-3776. I kind of want to go.
It wouldn't be bad.
Sounds like a good old time.
I love some 90s, 2000s music. I saw Sublime and a couple others out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It's a nice throwback.
Ooh, the Motor Speed, was it during a race?
No, it was race week. So the Indianapolis Motor Speedway is the largest sporting venue in the world. So they have all these areas for concerts.
Wait,
yeah.
Largest sporting venue in the world.
Yeah, it seats 400,000, baby.
Okay, that is a random note that I had never heard of
before. I'm going to show you the map of how many things could fit inside of it, and you're going to be mind blown.
Whoa.
It's something that everybody should go to. And I'm not biased at all, of course. I am biased towards documentaries. I love a good documentary. So when I saw Manti Te'o promoting a documentary on Netflix that was a tell-all, and seeing that not only was he interviewed, but the person that catfished him was interviewed. Oh, I was in, baby. I was all the way in.
All the way in. Okay.
So I watched it as Untold, The Girlfriend That Didn't Exist on Netflix. They interview Manti, his family, one of the head honchos at Notre Dame that had to deal with a lot of this backlash.
Yep.
And they interview the person that catfished Manti Te'o. Now, I'm going to give you some just a warning. There are all the spoilers in this. There's two parts. Now, Part one is mostly a recap. If you remember the situation, part one is nothing super new, although you do find out that...
It's a refresher.
Right. You do find out that Renaya, the man that catfished Manti, does now identify as a woman.
Okay.
So that part is, you're like, whoa. But other than that...
But that's not that surprising.
Correct.
Given that... The guy was impersonating
to be a woman,
a woman
yeah.
with a
football player.
Correct. So, but it's still, that's probably the only thing that's, but it is a nice refresher because honestly, like, you forget that this was 10 years ago already, which is crazy. And like how dominant Manti Te'o was, Notre Dame, which hasn't been able to rise to that prominence since then, and how big of a media circus this was. It's like we forget that they were able to fool this guy, now woman, was able to fool so many people. So the long and the short of it is Renaya, who's now trans, opens up about the fact that the character of Lene was created specifically so that person could feel like a woman.
Okay.
Born a natural male, always felt like he should be a woman.
Okay.
So several people and athletes were tricked by this account because not only did Renaya create Lene, Renaya created an entire family.
And Lene is the
girlfriend. The fictional woman.
That was the fictional woman. Because the other name is that's the new name I haven't heard before.
Renaya, which is the man, now goes by
gotcha.
Naya.
Right.
So okay. Renaya takes you through how each character was created on Facebook. Renaya took the pictures from a girl he had gone to high school with, who he really liked, named Diane. Poor, sweet, innocent Diane. All of her photos were taken to create this Lene character. He makes himself one of the cousins on Facebook. So on Lene's profile, it says cousin Renaya. So the only real person in this is Renaya. Anyway, Manti falls in love because they share a culture. They share Christian beliefs. Manti opens up about the fact on this documentary about how he felt kind of weird at Notre Dame because it was so Catholic and he was from the Church of the Latter-day Saints.
Oh.
He was Hawaiian. You know, he was Hawaiian. There weren't a lot of people that shared the Samoan Hawaiian culture at Notre Dame. And so,
especially Mormon on top of that too.
Correct.
That's a lot.
So Lene is really becomes his sounding board. He's texting who he thinks is Lene every night. And okay. Here's the thing. He's getting voice memos because Renaya, even though Renaya at the time was a man, was able to, as we later discover in an interview with Dr. Phil, put himself in a small black room, quote unquote, get into character and make his voice sound like a woman. And he does it on camera.
It's
and you're
really
like,
good.
What?
Is it a really good impersonation?
It's ridiculous.
It's not my female impersonation.
To the point to where Dr. Phil's like, I called experts, FBI experts around the country that didn't think that this could be real. Anyway,
I can't believe it's
so
real.
So the year is 2012. Renaya starts realizing that they're in a bad situation, right? I'm stuck on if it's he, she, whatever. Renaya realizes they're in a bad
situation.
She now, yeah.
He before.
Bad situation because Manti's in love and Manti wants to meet up with who he thinks is Lene. So what does she do? Fakes a car accident.
Nice.
Hell yeah. Lene's quote-unquote brother, which is actually Renaya as well, calls Manti and is like, here she is. She was in a car accident. She's breathing slowly.
Wow.
And Manti, they interview Manti Te'o, and Manti's like, all I could hear was breathing. And then the nurse said, she's breathing harder because she hears the name Manti. So Manti thinks that he's healing this woman from across the country. And this poor kid Manti is so naive. And this is all done. So for months and months.
Was the nurse also played?
Yes. Everybody is played by Renaya.
Renaya was three people at once on a phone call.
Like Eddie Murphy in the Nutty Professor.
I gotta say, that's like Eddie Murphy in the barbershop.
It gets worse. So like,
unbelievable. I'm impressed by the acting chops.
It's unbelievable. You guys have to watch the story because there is, Renaya had a real life niece. A real life niece. So after the car accident, it's quote unquote discovered that Lene has leukemia. And on the same morning,
it's like a double whammy.
On the same morning that Manti tells quote unquote Lene's brother that his grandma died, Renaya thinks it's a good idea to kill off Lene with leukemia. Ooh. So then Manti goes out. Notre Dame sideline reporter does the whole thing. This morning, Manti lost not only his grandma, but the love of his life, Stanford student Lene. No one in the media does any background check to see if there's a Stanford student with this name.
In their defense, why would you think about doing a background report on this? But now...
So weeks later...
I mean, good God.
Renaya comes to a Notre Dame game with the niece and has trained the little girl to say, I miss my Aunt Lene.
Oh, wow.
So really messed up
Brought a child actress into this, too.
It was the most messed up thing I've ever seen. And I will say Manti Te'o was humanized more than anything because it totally messed up his NFL career. The first 3 years, he had to see a therapist and couldn't and didn't feel like himself. He talks about how he was bullied by the media. This was the craziest thing I've seen. Highly recommend.
I got to say, though, like there had to have been a certain point where he is skeptical of this.
And he is because she comes back to life. Yeah. Because she texts him a picture and is like, I didn't actually die.
What is this, a soap opera?
So it turns out Renaya had contacted the girl he went to high school with whose fake picture he used and said, I had a cousin in a car accident and he thinks you're really cute and would love a picture of you with the heart that says Manti in the middle. It's like crazy.
So Renaya, good actress slash actor.
Psychopath.
But not good with the plot development.
Correct.
Like, this is really soap opera-y where, yeah, she's back from the dead. As far as Te'o goes, like, and look, this was earlier, this was a while ago, so I guess I can understand where catfishing would be a little bit more popular back then. But, I mean, if you're talking with somebody this long, like, how do you not, I don't know, like, do
FaceTime.
And it's, look, FaceTime I don't think was quite in existence then, but if you had a laptop.
Yeah, that's what he said. He was like, she would never Skype me.
That's where you should have been suspicious. Because your boy, me, one time on, what was the website? This was like, I don't know, like 2011. I was on this website, I think Plenty of Fish, and I was talking with somebody. And the person was really hot, and I'm like, okay, like, this could be cool.
Plenty of fish.
So then at one point, like, this person that I think is a woman had scheduled, like, hey, let's do, like, a FaceTime call or something like that. Oh, but my computer's not working. The camera's not working, but I want to see you anyway. No. And I was like, okay, this is weird. So then, like, I looked up the phone number that they'd given me for it, and I found the address and the name of the person that was there. And then I was like, so who are they pretending to be? And then I realized that all the pictures on this person's profile were that of porn star Tori Black. And I was like, I should have recognized her from, experience.
Paul Iteo, am I right? Oh, God.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, look.
You
that could have been bad.
I know.
And I'm not going to act like I haven't been naive or stupid before, you know? Like, things like this could happen back in the day. But that he let it go on that long without seeing her and felt that
and
romantically
attached. And
he
had told his parents that they had met in person. He had lied to his parents. So his parents think this chick's 100%. His parents tell ESPN, they used to hang out together in Hawaii. Never happened. Highly recommend.
Yeah.
Look forward to hearing you guys' thoughts. Coming up, we're going to hear Paul's thoughts on Hard Knocks. I'm excited because I did not get to watch this episode. And then, of course, it'll be a garbage time segment. But first, Paul's going to tell you about BUSR.
Yes, BUSR. Wait, am I telling you about BUSR or is Vanessa telling
you
about
what?
BUSR?
Today, I'm going to tell you about our friends at BUSR. And I got to tell you. I do know one thing. Football season is right around the corner, and that means it's time to get your bets in. BUSR.com/ESPN. You can double your deposit within the first 24 hours. You can do some fun NFL futures bets. By the way, maybe you think the Astros are going to get plus 400. Maybe you think the Texans are going to go over 4.5 or under 4.5. Maybe you're more of a blackjack guy or a roulette kind of gal. Here's the good thing. You can do it all over at BUSR.com/ESPN. That's BUSR.com/ESPN.
You are listening to...
Hey! Yeah, you. You better be listening to ESPN 97.5. And don't you dare turn that down.
ESPN 97.5.
breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I need to see the second episode of Hard Knocks because I heard it was one of the most entertaining things ever. Pauly G, you watched it. Thoughts?
So I have some quick thoughts. First up, I get bummed out watching the guys who fail on that show.
Yeah.
Because they're humanized and it's almost always done in a way, the show, where they're setting you up for like just this crushing feeling. So in this one, there's a Lions quarterback by the name of Blau, David Blau.
Okay.
And Blau's wife is like an Olympic hurdler. And they're showing this clip from the offseason of Blau.
Oh, I loved that.
Watching her participate in the Olympics. And he's losing his mind. And so are all the rest of the Lions coaching staff watching with him. It was a cool moment. And then they show him with her, watching her like work out on the side. So then she goes to this game. And Blau comes in a critical moment. And you're like, all right, let's see what Blau does. And Blau fumbles the snap. And that gets recovered. And then in this game between the Falcons and Lions, they zoom in on his wife's face. And you could just see like the disappointment and the realization. Like, oh, he's probably not going to be sticking around here long.
Those close-ups.
And what's a bummer is, too, like, it's such a crappy way to go out. Like, you just fumble a snap. It's obviously a careless mistake.
Did he get cut?
I'm not 100% sure on that front. But that was the biggest bummer of a moment. The cool moments, though, and there were a couple of cool moments on the show. They had another assistant coach steal the show. So Kelvin Shepard is the linebackers coach for the Lions. And there was a moment where this guy that you're not sure if he's Rodrigo or Rodriguez, but this guy, he is continuously just showing people up. And he's a sixth-round rookie. And Shepard, during a film session, like, highlights what Rodriguez is doing for a second. But then he's like, hey, rest of you guys, this guy's a rookie. Are you serious? He's the only one standing out right now. And hey, what round were you drafted in, kid?
Oh,
first round? Second round? Third round? And I don't mean to bring it up like that. And he just keeps going. And, like, I thought it was a great way to call out all of the other players. Yet another moment with Deuce Staley basically saying to DeAndre Swift, like, dude, like, you're so talented, and yet you don't use all the skills that you have. The assistant coaches on this team, and again,
there's... the staff is mostly former players, right?
Right. I love this about the Lions staff. And there's another moment, too, where Aaron Glenn's like, hey, remember in college, you guys used to win. Just remember this. You guys used to win. This is how we changed the culture of the Lions. I felt like they all brought different things to the table. And of course, they're going to show all the good moments of them being assistant coaches. But I really love this assistant coaching staff. And the best part, other than Aiden Hutchinson bawling out and his mom like crying when she saw him like successful in his first NFL series, it is Amon-Ra St. Brown listing all of the guys drafted before him at wide receiver in last year's draft without a second of hesitation.
Oh, I love
that. And he's just like looking dead ahead, and you could tell he's pissed off.
Because that's you if you're a wide receiver.
Oh, 100%. The most petty person ever. And I respect the hell out of the guys that can find a way to like really stand out as a late round pick. I'm wishing him the best. This has been a good season thus far. There have been a lot of disappointing seasons of Hard Knocks recently. I really do enjoy this Lions team.
Well, the thing about the one with the Colts was we thought that it would be more in depth because it was in season.
Yeah.
And there were some cool moments that were accessible, but like, let's face it. I mean, I'm glad they didn't show a lot because Colts fan here, but like, there, you wanted more meat from that. And I feel like this is one season where they're figuring out good personalities and how to use them correctly.
And by the way, they keep on showing at the end of these Hard Knocks episodes who they're going to get for the end season this year of Hard Knocks. So it's the Cardinals. So
that's
the first
right.
thing they showed was DeAndre Hopkins like on a medicine ball standing. And the next was like Cliff Kingsbury in this completely void office with nothing in it, like looking at a computer, just like staring like dead ahead. So yeah, that ought to be a fun one.
But like,
with
I
all
want,
the drama going on.
Here's
there.
The thing, like, hard. I want to hear Kyler Murray and the conversations and him complain about the contract. I want to hear DeAndre Hopkins protesting his PED suspension.
Too. Will they do
That's
that?
The thing. Absolutely not. But thank you for the review, and I look forward to watching it. All right, it is time for garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
What's better than Dakoldis Crawford? Yes, that's a real name. Dakoldis Crawford, who will be attending, is attending Nebraska. has an NIL deal with a heating and cooling company.
Yes.
Appropriate, right?
Yes.
Play on words. Here's what that NIL deal sounds like in advertisement form.
I'm so glad we called SOS. Our AC is the coldest.
I'm always the coldest.
SOS to rescue.
Hey, this is Dakota Crawford, wide receiver from Louisiana, now playing in Lincoln. When your AC isn't the coldest, you call SOS Heating and Cooling.
Their techs don't make commissions, so they give you an honest opinion, fair pricing, and longer warranties than a competition guaranteed. Take it from Dakota's. We will keep you cool this summer.
SOS.
First of all, that's incredibly effective.
I love the jingle.
I love that too. That was awesome.
Your AC will be the coldest. I also enjoy.
And they don't make commission. So
that's
they
my favorite part. They don't make commission, so you always get a fair price.
But fair and honest pricing.
I like the also that like the family actress and her kid early on in it, who's like clearly not a very good actress. It's like, so like, look, one of these guys is an athlete. He's not acting. And the person that's in there at the beginning. Oh, they did acting that.
I love it when local TV people put their kids in the, because that's how I assume it is.
That's how it is. Every commercial in Terre Haute, Indiana is my grandpa.
Yeah.
You should come visit him and have him do your windows.
Go to the blah, blah, blah Ford dealership today. It's like, get off my screen, kid.
It's like you're not cute. Nobody thinks your kid is cute except you.
Exactly.
And here's the thing. I think a lot of kids are cute, but some of the kids in these commercials
Mattress
are not cute.
Mattress Mack does it right. It's the Mattress Mack show, all right?
Although his kids have been in some of those commercials.
Well, yeah, but he's getting up there.
There's also a specific car company that, like, throws the kid in every now and then, but I'm guessing the kid is aged now, so it's not as cute.
Not cute. You are not a Patrick Reed fan.
I'm not going to call him the nickname that I sometimes call him. That would be mean. But Patrick Reed, Vanessa, is suing Brandel Chamblee. I'm probably butchering the pronunciation of that name. Sorry. Don't care. The Golf Channel. And claims that he has been targeted by a conspiracy that also features the commissioner of the PGA. Guess how much money he is looking for in damages.
How much?
$75 million.
$750 million.
Oh.
He is suing for $750 million as the subject of a conspiracy. He remains the worst, but at least he owns being the worst, unlike Bryson DeChambeau.
There's a couple... in Texas with a 47-year age difference. And listen, when I first saw
What's wrong with that?
On Garbage Time, I almost, because I like older guys,
ain't
but this
that
age
America
gap is.
For you and me.
This age gap
ain't
is extreme.
That is
even
it Dane
for me.
Cook?
Kathy Jenkins, 74, first met her now fiance, Devon Aubrey, 27, on the adult hookup site, Adult Friend Finder. Both saying they weren't looking for something serious, but then it turned into love. Jenkins has 4 children, 13 grandchildren, 36 great-grandchildren, and she claims this is the healthiest relationship she's ever been in.
She found love.
Love
in a hopeless place. Yeah, love one out.
The pictures on this are so disturbing, and you know what? He's a septum ring, so I'm not surprised.
Yeah, the pictures is really what I wanted, especially Vanessa, because I know she actually opens up
I'm not opening it.
Here's the thing. I can understand an age difference because I have an old soul, and I usually do connect with guys, you know, 10 to 15 years older than me.
Did you know my dad, when I was in college, was dating somebody that was 25 years younger than him?
That?
Picked me up once from the airport. And
no,
I'm like,
she did not.
I'm like, no, he picked me up from the airport. I'm like, who the hell is this? This very, like, beautiful, tall, blonde woman. And
for Mr.
Like,
Gallant.
They were together for like 5 to 6 years, and I remember, she didn't understand that like there were certain moments where when you're around a college aged kid who's hanging around that like probably you should wear a little more so that he's not.
So what was
Googling.
The age difference between you and her?
6 years.
No.
Yeah.
The age difference between Kenny and I is 5 years. That
Your
is
brother?
Such a small. No, Kenny the intern.
Oh, the intern. Yeah.
Could have been my stepmom.
Could have been your stepmom. That would have maybe a couple of American Pie moments, but
she drank a lot.
Good for Mr. Gallant.
What a time.
What a time indeed.
What a time to go to BUSR.com/ESPN. How do you naturally transition away from that? You can't, but you can gamble on the Houston Astros to win the World
I'm
Series.
Disturbed.
They're plus 320 right now. BUSR.com/ESPN. They will double your deposit within the first 24 hours of signing up to $2,500 with a prop builder that allows you to create your own prop bets. You deposit with crypto. 45% cash bonus on top of that deposit. What? Weekly newsletter, sports calendar of the week, a person who can speak English when you call them, customer support 24/7, because I'm talking not very well at this moment in time, trying to transition away from what we were talking about at the end of the show. Anyway, BUSR.com.
Stacey's mom slash has ESPN. Got it going on. Have a good day, everybody. Killer Bees up next.
Peace!
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.